just like you, we're all about sports. And the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman. He's Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. Thanks for tuning in on a hump day Wednesday. Greg Wyshynski will join us in a moment. We'll talk some Stanley Cup playoffs. A lot of interesting stuff taking place over the last 2 days. And we'll get to him. We've got Wig coming in studio next hour. Wednesday with some fun facts. Wikipedia, may the 4th be with you. We're doing Star Wars trivia. So we got a lot of fun on tap here today. 239-337-ESPN if you want to jump on or hit us on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line.
Looks like Matthew Meyer, the forward from Baylor, the mullet guy.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to Chapel Hill.
Really?
Yep, he's following all the coaches on Instagram. Armando Bacot's openly recruiting him on Twitter. Sliding nicely into that Brady Manek role.
Seems unfair.
Nicely.
Did another Baylor player transfer to Creighton?
I'm not sure. Creighton's gotten a few transfers over the last few days.
Well, I got one from St. John's. He goes, I'm not going to I says, I'm going to Creighton because I hate the Friars from knocking us out of the Invidious. I'm like, because they ever talks about him going to Providence. He goes, I'm going to Creighton. Creighton's loaded. Loaded.
Yes, they're good.
I'm still waiting for a big man to go to Bloomington.
He'll get one.
Or it might be Trace Jackson Davis. We don't know.
Again. Run it back, Craig.
Run it back.
Run it back.
Run it back to the playing game.
No.
No, I think they're a firm 8-9 team. No, Craig.
No worse than a 6 seed.
Craig, firm.
Which means you'd be one of the last.
That means we take on the number one team after that.
So you will be in the playing game.
Greg Wyshynski coming up in a moment at 4 minutes and 15 seconds past the hour. It's time for a SportsCenter rundown, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
The NFL announced 5 international games for the 2022 season. The Bucs will take on the Seahawks in Germany on November 13th. London will host 3 games on October 2nd. It'll be Saints against Vikings on the 9th. It'll be Packers Giants and the 30th. Broncos and Jags, and Mexico City will host Cardinals and Niners on November 21st for Monday Night Football. Last night on the ice, Capitals, Penguins, Flames, and Avalanche, all winners. They take a 1-0 series lead. The other 8 teams are in action tonight.
CP, we need to start doing hockey games over in Germany, London. Move it around. Mexico City. Spread the sport.
I don't care. The sport does well in the markets that it's in.
Yeah.
I don't care if it does well in Hawaii. Never have, never will.
Grow the sport. Grow it.
There are leagues all over the world. It's not as good as the NHL.
Yeah. All right. Greg Wyshynski will talk. I won't ask him that question, by the way. That was tongue-in-cheek.
No, I know. There's a lot going on in these game ones, and game two is coming up tonight.
Yes, so we'll discuss that. Pittsburgh John says he can't wait for Greg Wyshynski to come on and badmouth his Penguins like he always does. Come on now.
I don't think he badmouths him. You know what? I'm going to ask him that, John. I'm going to ask him that.
All right.
Because I'm looking at a recent article that he wrote. He's not bashing him. No. Praising him.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will we'll discuss that with him. Chris is efforting him here at the moment. And lots of news to get to regarding NHL, NBA, and more NFL stuff. But as I said, Greg Wyshynski, he's a gem, man. He's the lead hockey writer for ESPN.
Yep,
and
a friend of the Kaplan, program. Great job, yep.
He's with us right now. Greg, I saw your Twitter hand, one of your tweets today, may the 4th be with you. I don't know if you're a Star Wars geek like the rest of us, but may the 4th be with you. Thank you for coming on.
How are you, Greg?
Well, of course I am, man. I was born in 1977. What else would I be?
That's right.
But, yeah, you're 10 years younger than me. How's that possible?
mean, no, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, I'm up in Bristol, actually, for our TV show today, The Drop, which is at 6:30 on ESPN+. And we got a little Star Wars hockey thing cooked up for tonight.
Oh,
that should be fun.
Sweet.
And I'm going to be in costume as much as I can be. I wasn't going to splurge on the $600 version of the costume, but a solid $60 version of the costume. So I think we're in good shape.
You're going to show the Mandalorian, the Obi-Wan new trailer. Have you seen it? Came out today.
Oh, it's killer, right? I mean, listen, there's two of them. I'm of two minds here. One is that I'm excited as heck to see Ewan McGregor back as Obi-Wan. I have a little bit of Tatooine fatigue, though, I think, at this point. Between The Mandalorian
too much sand.
And everything else, I feel like we can maybe do without the desert planet for a little bit, is kind of how I feel about it.
I'm sorry, Peter, but if you want to jump in, because you're talking about the studio show and all that, and I just want to say what I told the guys yesterday. I know ESPN doesn't spend a lot of real estate throughout the year talking hockey. But I think the staggered games, the ESPN1, ESPN2, and the broadcast teams in the studio, it looks like you guys have been doing this forever. Just kudos to all of you.
It's a pleasure to watch.
You're doing a fantastic job. Yep. Seriously.
Appreciate it. I mean, I think, you know, in working here, I know that they're one of the great surprises of working here before we got the rights was coming here and just seeing how many hockey fans we're here.
Yeah.
I think there's like a perception of the company a little bit as far as that goes. And I can tell you, like, the first time I walked into the newsroom, I saw more Hartford Whalers swag and Boston Bruins swag and New York Rangers swag than I've ever seen before in my life. And so there's always been this group that's been waiting and ready to really make it work if we got the rights back, which we did. And, you know, the production's great. The people that are on the air, I think, are really insightful and know how to put on an exciting show. And it really warms my heart to hear people like reach out on social media and be like, it's so cool to be able to flip between ESPN and ESPN2 and watch hockey all night like they did last night. And in the case of the Rangers game that I covered last night, it was all night.
Yeah,
and morning. It went on for a while.
Yeah, well, let's get into that game. And, I'm not going to repeat what you said verbatim in your article today when you summarized all the game one so far, but what stood out to you in that game last night and the triple overtime? I actually thought at the end when Malkin scored that they actually might review it and take that goal away. I was like, please don't do it. I know his stick was a little high, but please, I can't take it anymore. But what your thoughts on that game and how it all transpired?
Well, I know that the goal taken away from the Rangers got some attention.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was a good call by the officials. I mean, the letter of the law, you know, says that Kaapo Kakko's got to kind of just make an effort to get away from the goalie on that play, and he really didn't. I didn't think that the Penguins defenseman Brian Dumoulin did much to shove him into the goalie either. If you didn't like the play and thought it was kind of a cheap one, and the Rangers should have kept the goal, then you're arguing about them. You're arguing about the rule book versus how it was enforced. I think the game itself was incredible. I can't remember another triple overtime game where the pace was so intense. There wasn't a lot of waiting around. There wasn't a lot of like trying to find rest. It was like pedal to the metal the entire time. I think that was indicative of Malkin scoring on the 83rd shot on goal they had on Igor Shchurkin last night. The takeaway for me from that game, though, beyond the obvious incredible goalie drama of the Penguins having to swap out for their backup in the second overtime and him doing a heck of a job making 17 saves, was the way they won. And this is what should give Rangers fans a little bit of nervousness here, is Sidney Crosby said this is like the last ride for this group. You know, Malkin's a free agent, Letang's a free agent, Brian Rust's a free agent. And what did you see last night? You saw Sid make two great passes to Jake Gensel for goals to tie the game. You saw Malkin make an awesome pass to Rust to tie the game. And then you saw Malkin win the game in triple overtime. If the Penguins stars have decided that they want to keep this ride going and play the way that they did in game one, the Rangers are in trouble.
No, I agree. Let's move on down here. The Florida Panthers, which I warned everybody yesterday. You know, you go back to last year and Sergei Bobrovsky, and I'm not blaming him for last night's loss or anything like that solely, but, you know, he got pulled last year for Spencer Knight, the rookie. And Florida is an awesome team to watch right up until they get to the first round of the playoffs. And I'm wondering if there's a must win for game two for any team left. I think it's the Panthers tomorrow night.
There's a few others I think are probably on that list. Minnesota Wild come to mind. The Boston Bruins come to mind. But I think you're right, though. Like, because the thing about the Panthers is it's not only just trying to even the series, it's also trying to reestablish proof of concept. And by that I mean they marauded teams in the regular season offensively to the point where any lead wasn't safe against them. And any time they were in the third period and they were down, they were confident they could come, they could come back. And it didn't work. It didn't work for, you know, offensively last night, being contained to two goals. It didn't work with their rally in the third period. I mean, obviously, it was like one of the worst third periods they've had this season. And so you start to wonder, okay, so does regular season success and the things that they did well in the regular season correlate to postseason success? And it's kind of funny. Like, you almost feel like, you remember that Will Smith movie that came out recently where he's fighting a younger version of himself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Gemini.
I feel like that's the Capitals last night. Like the Panthers are essentially what the Capitals were back in like 2009, 2010, when Ovechkin was younger and they were just running around trying to score goals on everybody. And then, you know, teams took advantage of them in the postseason with like strong defensive efforts they couldn't figure out. So we're going to see what the Panthers are now. We're going to see whether they're just a run and gun team that doesn't know how to respond when teams come at them with defensive structure, or if they're a team that can maybe adapt a little bit. And this is where things get really interesting for Andrew Brunette, their interim coach, who I think. Yeah. The only real adversity this team had dealt with was when Joel Quenneville resigned and Brunette took over. They did a hell of a job keeping them, you know, pointed in the right direction. But now you've got to make some tactical adjustments. Now you've got to figure out what didn't work in game one. And that's a different skill set than simply just motivating the guys and keeping them focused. And I'm really intrigued to see how it shakes out.
By the way, are we allowed to mention Will Smith movies, parenthetically? I don't know. I don't know what's politically correct anymore.
Well, that was a pre-crisis Will Smith movie. So, I mean, like, anything now from this point on you can't talk about, but beforehand I think it's all right.
Okay.
And the last thing on the Panthers before we get to tonight's game, you know, with the Bruins and Carolina and also in Tampa Bay and Toronto, but you know, I covered Joe Thornton with the Bruins. I remember the first time he walked into the locker room. He's, you know, a tall kid. You know, he's barely 18 years old. And I have a sentimental week. I hope they can get him a cup, if possible. If my Bruins can't win it, I hope that Florida can somehow get him a well-deserved Stanley Cup. But we shall see. Now, Toronto and Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to just say that, like, that's part of the reason why I have a little bit of hope is that it's not simply just Brunette behind the bench that's going to have to figure this thing out. It's going to be Thornton, you know, and his influence on this team, even if he's not playing, is influential. It's going to be Claude Giroux. It's going to be Patrick Hornquist, who's won cups with the Penguins. It's going to be these veteran guys they have on this team that are there for this specific reason, which is when things go awry, when things don't go as planned, tell us it's going to be okay. Tell us what to do. Tell us what the approach is. And I think that's a big factor in this too.
All right. Who scores a power play goal first tonight? Tampa Bay or the Bruins or nobody?
based on the teams they're playing, I would say Tampa Bay. You know, the Carolina Hurricanes are a pretty good shorthanded team, maybe. You know, I think in both cases, it's going to be real fun to see how things shake out. I mean, because we're talking about two different trends. And in the case of the Bruins, we're talking about a trend in which the last three games they've played against the Carolina Hurricanes have resulted in the Hurricanes winning all three by a score of 18-2. Okay, so now we have to start wondering whether this is just a horrible matchup for Boston and whether they just don't match up well against this team, whether the Hurricanes just have their number. And I guess we'll find out tonight. As far as the Lightning goes, I mean, the trend obviously is how they've been incredible at bouncing back after losses. 14-0 after losses in their last two cup runs. Vasilevskiy's goals against average, I think, is like 1.65 in those games. They're a team that knows how to bounce back. They're a team that knows how to adapt. The question is, are we watching the Lightning team from those two cup runs, or are we watching the Lightning team that lost to Columbus in the first round, which couldn't adapt and really looked lost after they lost game one?
We got in a discussion yesterday about the Lightning going, obviously, as deep as you can the last 2 years and whether that starts to the mileage on the leg starts to wear as the postseason goes on. Do you buy into that?
I don't buy into it in the first round,
right?
I think part of the interesting thing with the Lightning is that they haven't played full seasons in either of their cup wins.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, they played a lot of hockey for sure, much more than the Leafs have, no doubt.
Yeah.
But you wonder, you know, when that exactly is going to catch up with them. But I don't think that was the issue in game one. I think the issue in game one was, the Leafs were playing at a different pace and with a different intensity than were the Lightning, and they weren't ready for it. And you started to see them make some bad decisions. You started to see them force things a little bit, and also not take the opportunities that they had. I mean, Stamkos missing an open net and things like that. So you know, I'm very high on the idea that they're going to be okay and that they're going to rally in this game and make it a series. But there's still a part of me that remembers covering that Columbus series where, you know, they were surprised by a team and then they couldn't recover.
I'm trying not to be that guy, Greg, when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I really am. And by that, I mean they could be up 3-0 and up 10-1 in game four, and I still think they're going to lose. Am I wrong? I mean, is this finally – can they win a playoff series? Forget the Stanley Cup. Can they win a playoff series? Are you confident that they can win this series, or are we just waiting for the inevitable, it seems, of this franchise year after year?
They're playing on a different level right now. Yep. I mean, they're playing really good hockey, and I think the difference for me is it starts with Austin Matthews kind of leveling up. I mean, this is a guy with 60 goals this season, and the way he plays on both ends of the ice, it's like the closest thing we've had to Mario. Like, it really is. Like, he's becoming a dominant force in this league, if he's not already, and can exert his will on a series, which is something they've been really waiting for him. You know, there have been times when he's been, you know, a little too quiet at big moments. I think he's reached the point in his career where now he can kind of dictate terms in a playoff series. And overall, like, it's a good team. It's a deep team. They've made some decent acquisitions. I mean, Giordano at the trade deadline, they got good goaltending in game one. I mean, it's not another realm of possibility that this is the year that they, well, at least win a playoff round. I won't get ahead of myself, but they're a really, really good team.
Greg Wyshynski is with us talking NHL with Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. The two late games tonight, game twos, of course, the Kings and the Oilers had a pretty competitive game one on a night of a lot of blowouts around the league. And then the Blues, what, the 4-0 game over the Wild. Wild are, like, I think, the third highest scoring team at home, and then they get shut out. Which one of these two games, the late games, intrigues you the most tonight?
The Wild one, for sure, because we're going to find out really quickly if game one was playoff jitters or if game one was them running into a team really hitting its stride and with a goaltender that is also hitting a stride in Billy Husso. And that's sort of my concern right now for the Wild, is that St. Louis was able to put 4 goals on the board without getting much contribution from Robert Thomas, their great young playmaking center. It was like David Perron and Ryan O'Reilly doing the job. And then meanwhile, you had a guy in goal making his first playoff start. It looked like he was making his 100th playoff start. I mean, like, Billy Husso looked incredible in that game and confident and poised, and the team in front of him played well in limiting the Wild's best offensive players. The Kirill Kaprizov line, their top line, which is without question their offensive engine and the reason why they were such a great offensive team this year, they didn't have a single high-danger shot attempt in that game at 5-on-5. They really put the clamps on him and his line. So I'm a little bit concerned about the Wild tonight. That doesn't mean I don't think they can win this game. In fact, I think they have to win this game if they're going to win the series. But I am concerned about them cracking this Blues defensive front and really concerned about them, you know, trying to put 4 goals up on Billy Husso.
Can the Nashville Predators overcome, are they psychologically damaged after that butt whipping they took, particularly in the first period where it was 5-0 before it could even, 3-0 before it could even blink. But I know they have goalie issues as well. Can they be competitive in this series?
Yeah, if they play with 6 skaters. They don't really have a goalie on the roster that's going to be able to hang with the Colorado Avalanche. And I really feel bad. I mean, like, you know, they unfortunately lost UC Saros late in the season to injury. And that's a guy who, for, you know, all due respect to the year that Roman Josi had with, you know, one of the best offensive seasons we've seen from a defenseman in the last, like, 30 years, Saros was their MVP. I mean, he played 67 games. Really, really, really played great, and I think would have given them a puncher's chance in this series. But the minute he went down was the minute I think they just, like, folded up the tents, right? Like, they knew that they didn't have a chance against Colorado if that's who they ended up playing, and I think game one is indicative of that. I never count them out when they go home, Nashville, just because that environment is so chaotic, and they could maybe find a little life there, but I just don't think that, you know, Riddick or Ingram or whoever plays for them in goal is going to be able to withstand what Colorado throws at them.
Well, Riddick gave a wall. That was the only thing I saw get hit last night on the Nashville side was the wall Riddick hit. I counted it 7 times with his stick as he went off the ice in favor of Connor Ingram. But he was upset, rightly so. 5 goals on 13 shots. I'd be pissed too. But
yeah,
we digress. Sure. All right. You want Daily Wager tonight, too, or no, just your puck?
Yeah, up. Daily Wager tonight with some best bet action. I'm on Bet, our digital wagering show, and then The Drop, our show with me and Art O'Cal, that'll lead right into Boston, Carolina, is at 6:30, and you can watch it on ESPN Plus, but you could also watch it like wherever you stream stuff, like Twitter, YouTube, stuff like that.
And so Star Wars,
it's gonna be a fun show. We're having Chelios on. We're gonna hang with him for a little bit, and then do a little goofy Star Wars stuff.
Awesome, that's fantastic. For what it's worth, my best bet: Tampa Bay plus 115. You can credit me if you'd like.
I'm a little bit scared of the Wild, so I'm gonna, my best bet, I'll give that out on the show, is them under the 3.5 goal team goal tonight.
All right.
Awesome.
Good information.
You're the man. Thanks
Thank you, Greg.
Much.
Always appreciate it.
Give the best to all the crew. You guys are doing an amazing job with the NHL, with the Stanley Cup playoff coverage. Awesome. Is awesome.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Greg Wyshynski, the lead NHL writer for ESPN. And TV star as well. Thank you. It's always good when he comes on.
He's funny, Bass. He's funny.
Very informative.
Daily Wager is hysterical.
It's great.
Love it.
All right. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. If you want to jump in on some of that, either phone or text. And ESPN Southwest Florida, Naples Wealth Planning, and the Sheeman and Shepherd Golf Scramble. It's all May 13th at Stony Brook. The show out at Duffy's afterward. And you're all invited to it. It's a five-year anniversary show. Get some lunch. Hang out with us. It's brought to you by Astero Bay Chevrolet, Gavin's Ace Hardware, and Valvoline. That is a week from Friday. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN, Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass, Sheeman, a Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Thank you to Greg Wyshynski, who just stopped by to preview some NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. A couple NBA games tonight, Sixers and Heat. Heat minus 8, last time I checked. Still no Joel Embiid. Mavs, Suns minus 6.
Still no Kyle Lowry either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of the Suns, Wig is a Suns fan. Wig will be here in studio in a half hour for Wig Wednesday for the whole hour, 4 o'clock, part of the Sheeman Shepherd Texas Bracket Championship. The Wiggins Trophy. He's the first winner of what is soon to be an annual event in the month of March. It was such a rousing success. We're doing that every year. Harry Carey said he might call in, too. Probably gunning for next year early, getting an early start.
Well, yeah, there's a fire in his belly that wasn't there before.
Yeah. Well, I think the fire's always been there. I think it's...
Well, it's like after you win the Super Bowl, you know, you're already late, so you want to get a jump on next season.
But Harry lost the Super Bowl.
I know.
And then he missed a regular call-in segment. And
I'm
just saying, you know...
Work duty called.
The Super Bowl curse is real. Next thing you know, he's going to be on the cover of Madden next year.
Well, I don't think he made the Super Bowl. I think he made a Final Four.
But it was a huge...
No, he was in the final...
It wasn't Wig versus Harry.
It was Rose's the bedroom
you're
guy.
You're right.
He was upset. He was like the Chiefs.
Right. Chiefs. They'd be the Chiefs. The dude that lost to the
13
dude.
Who had the... It was Wig that came from behind, though, I think. Or who came from...
Rose's bedroom guy.
Rose's bedroom guy was down by like 60 or 80 votes or something.
Yeah.
And stormed back.
Stormed
back. Really shocking upset.
Speaking of football, there was one other story we haven't gotten to regarding the NFL. We told you about the games overseas and the Buccaneers and Tom Brady are going to be playing in Germany. You know, we had the story yesterday that the NFL decided there was no there with Hugh Jackson and his claims that the Browns had him tank. Their explanation today, what the Browns had was a four-year plan, a four-year rebuild, and there didn't seem to be a lot of winning plan the first 2 years. It's all semantics. I don't know if they were tanking, but it was a four-year rebuild, according to the NFL. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here.
No, of course not.
Well, they come up with that ruling so that they can use something similar to save Stephen Ross when he gets the hammer thrown at him from Brian
Flores.
Flores, thank you. That's all that was. That was laying groundwork for that.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson was a gift from God to the NFL.
Call that precedence, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Four-year rebuild. And then all that's going to be put on its wayside when you see the Lions rebuild in year two. under Dan Campbell.
Oh, did you see your receiver?
Which one?
Jameson Williams.
Do what? No.
He at the press conference where they introduced their first round draft picks.
I saw the pictures. I didn't see the press conference. What?
Ooh, he looks excited to be in Detroit.
I sense sarcasm.
A lot of it. He didn't even smile.
Really?
Holding up his jersey.
I did see that picture.
Yeah.
Who is this now?
He's like, look, Jameson Williams.
I'll tweet him.
They had him standing next to Aiden Hutchinson. Hutchinson's all smiles.
Well, of course. He's the hometown kid.
He's a local kid.
Jameson has been used to, you know, he's Ohio State and Alabama.
Yeah.
Lots of winning.
Yeah. He's saying he looked a little bummed. I saw his head was hanging low. His dreads were kind of in his face.
Covering his face. He doesn't even want to be seen. I think he's already requested a trade.
I think you're totally exaggerating.
And that's another reason why they need Julio Jones.
Exactly.
Things are heating up again.
Just let one Alabama receiver leave and bring in another.
We got one Alabama receiver that we moved up 20 spaces in the draft to get. We don't need to, you know, Julio did that too.
I'm sure
Atlanta
did. I'm sure you guys could turn him for a three.
I don't know why you're bothering me with this nonsense.
It's ridiculous body language.
I can read into it. My sources tell me.
I think he's just chill.
AKA Twitter.
Your sources. You, yourself, and I.
Headline, Williams wants out of Motor City.
Williams spoke with Calvin Johnson. Williams wants out.
Colon, mulling retirement.
In his prime.
Pressure to play at Ford Field too much. Wants to go coach with Nick Saban.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, I dislike both of you strongly.
Yeah, but it's funny. But it's funny.
I don't know. By the way, Chisholm up at the plate for the Marlins, totally unbuttoned down to his navel with the he bent over.
Oh,
like,
he's got some swag.
Body.
He's got some swag. He's got blue hair.
Yeah, blue hair.
Yeah.
The shoes. I caught the shoes purple today when he was running to second base.
Yeah,
they're multiple colors.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're rainbow-ish.
Oh, he's been wearing purple for the last few games.
Today he's got every color.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, because he's got the orange gloves today. He had been wearing the purple.
Yeah.
Look at those. Rips it. There we go.
Base hit to right field.
Couple ducks on the pond, boys. Don't get thrown out.
Oh, he's not going anywhere.
I know.
He's good. Oh, he's calling for a pitch runner. He just pulled a hammy.
No, he's going to take his...
some point.
No, he took off his pad on his leg and his shin.
He pointed at the dugout.
Yeah, to get the ball
back. Craig's just trying to throw it back in my face because Jameson wants to retire after zero games played. He's going to sign his contract first, though.
Stood next to Coldplay. Thank you for your playoff win since 2000 graphic.
I'm glad that's since 2000 and not since 2001.
Yeah, well, it still doesn't look good. Your Dolphins have a one next. Dolphins, Browns, and Washington with one. Lions, the only team with a zero. Wow. Two whole decades.
So
Dopey,
bad.
Stop. Stop.
It's been so bad.
He says, what hurts more, Craig? Williams wants out of Detroit or that sound from DeAndre Swift dropping the ball?
What sound?
No, there's no sound. There's no
Matthew's going to work out of the gun. Bears have three men back on that goal line.
Oh,
Stafford's got it.
No, it's not.
Three-man rush for Chicago. Stafford loads and throws.
Hey, yes!
Caught! No, oh! He dropped it. DeAndre Swift dropped it. It was a touchdown in his hands.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
The answer is that still hurts.
It's so funny.
Imagine that scene in Hoosiers where Buddy in the semifinals gets the offensive foul, falls out of the game, and Gino goes, oh, no. And then they have to send Ollie in, the little kid.
Yeah. What's terrible is he's a really good player. Swift is so good.
He was pretty good in that game, just not on that play.
Not perfect.
No.
Not perfect.
Matt Patricia would probably still be coach if he caught that ball. Would have turned the whole season around on week one.
No, Patricia was the coach.
He'd still be today.
Oh, if I got you.
We would have been, you know, playoff bound, obviously.
I got
you. Yeah, would have propelled them, huh?
Yeah, that would have changed the whole outlook on the season.
So I think I found some Back in My Day music.
Oh, okay.
Back in my day, we used to play with Etch-a-Sketch and Rubik's Cubes. Yeah, this might work, Chris. Might fiddle along with this one for a while. Fetch me the, I was going to say fetch me the remote control. That makes no sense whatsoever.
What are you talking about? Remote control? Remote control is your thumb and index finger getting up to change the TV.
Get your butt off the couch back in my day and change your channel. Had a whole three other channels to choose from. CBS, NBC, ABC, and PBS. And if you were in a big market, you might have had another independent station to choose from.
We were lucky back in my day. We had a real good antenna on top of our roof. And it would go...
At least there's production behind the stupidity now.
Watch Gilligan's Island, Brady Bunch before school and after school.
All right, good. So now we have music when you guys act like that.
Got an update from single Red Sox girl, but not the kind of update you would think.
Okay. It's like, that was quick.
Got me a wingman today. Grandson number two. Good-looking kid. There. Probably a Red Sox fan. Probably joining That's Red Sox Nation.
Fantastic. I thought when I first saw the picture and said single Red Sox girl, I go, wow.
Yeah, right,
that,
right.
That date went really well.
You were thinking date, now you're thinking grandma. Yeah. That's okay. That's congratulations. Gator Nation says that music works.
Kathleen says it sounds like the Deliverance music.
A little bit, a little bit.
Craig, you got a pretty mouth.
Now let me hear you squeal like a pig.
Wow. I've only seen that movie twice in my life. And you think about the actors besides, you know, Burt Reynolds and, you know, but it's like, wow. That movie was, when I first watched that movie, I was younger too. I didn't expect it to be, because I didn't know what it was about. And read up on it.
Utah texting in. Is the Rubik's Cube old enough to be a back in my day segment? Bleep, I'm old.
Yeah, I think
it is.
Somewhat, yeah. When we do back in my day, it's usually around 70s, maybe late 60s. But yeah, we get into the early 80s, right?
Yep. Eagles fan texting in. Back in my day, men competed in men's sports.
You read that one, huh?
It should be women competed in women's sports. Dopey said, back in my day, TV used to go off the air at midnight. They'd play the national anthem. Yes,
yeah,
they would.
Unless it was Saturday Night Live on NBC, then they'd wait till 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's all you knew. You'd fall asleep in bed watching a show, and you wake up.
Yeah, static.
White noise.
Sounds awful.
Back in my day, if you were watching the Penguins and the Rangers, it would just go off at the first overtime. Go dark.
No, that's not true.
I know.
Back in my day, the game would be on USA Network.
Now that's where soccer's played.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had hockey on it last year when NBC had the coverage.
Alehouse says, does Stretch Armstrong count? Yeah, that's an old-timey toy.
Back in my
day. I never understood that. I got one. I didn't like it.
I never had one, but all my friends had one. I always try to stretch it to the breaking point.
You need somebody to play with it, and you know it's not. I mean, you're stretching his arms and his legs out. Why is that fun?
Yeah,
my kids have.
I'd rather have silly
putty. Stretch Spider-Man.
Oh, that's the thing.
Really? It's like Stretch Armstrong, but it's not Armstrong.
Have they broken it yet?
Nope, lost it.
What's in the inside of those? What is it? Is there gel? What makes it stretch? I don't know.
Goop.
Just goop.
Yep. Speaking of soccer, Real Madrid, Man City.
Yeah, one of my friends my friends purposely lit on a Stretch Armstrong on fire outside, and
what happened?
And it stunk like hell.
Oh,
and
I'm sure.
It smoldered, and I'm like, "Are we gonna die from
like burnt
fumes?
Hair?"
That's a smell.
Get the
That's
hell
a
out
terrible
of there.
Smell.
Yeah, it is.
Terrible smell.
Back Have you burnt a lot day, of hair in your day?
Back in my day,
I've smelt my fair share of burnt hair.
Yeah,
either you know. Voluntary or
you get it in the hair dryer there and it, yeah.
No, I told my mom she was smoking when I was growing up and I wanted her to stop. So I told her each time she lit a cigarette, I was going to burn a little bit of my leg hair in her car.
Oh, wow. That's that took a left turn. Didn't see that coming.
Leg hair.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have any hair on your body.
I have a ton of leg hair.
Well, that's I've seen your body. But
I wear pants every day to work though.
Yeah.
So, well, how old were you?
I don't know. early teen, preteen, wow. something like that.
Rebel.
I don't know. It was right when, you know, you learn about all the dangers of smoking in school.
Yeah. No, I know. My mom smoked too, for a while. She quit the last, 30 years of her life. But I used to, back in my day, she'd say, run across the street.
Get me a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah. And I'm like, no. I don't want it. Because to me, that was the ultimate taboo. I'm like, no, I'm not going across. They're going to think I'm some, whack job. And nowadays, that'd be nothing. My sister got caught when she was like 9.
Yeah.
My parents were devastated. I laughed my
head
off.
It worked, though. Not a lot of kids my age were smokers in high school. That was a big deal. I know the generation before me.
How about now? I don't think
so. These kids are doing the vaping.
No, that's just as bad.
No, it's not. It's not good. It's not just as bad, though. It's not just as bad.
Oh, okay. I smoke an occasional. To each his own. I smoke a nice cigar occasionally, a couple times a month. I have no problem with that.
I am smoke-free.
Your entire life.
I've had one cigar.
When your son was born?
Daughter.
Garcia Vega?
You weren't that pumped for your son's birth?
I didn't enjoy the cigar experience enough.
What kind of cigar was it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably like a Garcia Vega. It was like $2.
It was a chicken bone. I don't know. I just moved here, guys. Says, this show is going to kill me. I'm cracking the hell up every day. Have a great week, guys. Heading to Orlando for the in-laws' 40th anniversary and Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the female listeners. All right, just moved here, guy.
Speaking of Mother's Day.
Yes.
Which is this Sunday.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'm glad I'm not in the city of Boston because the White Sox and Red Sox play that first game, that crazy, at 11:35 a.m.
Oh,
and
yeah?
then the Bruins are hosting the Hurricanes at 12:30. So you're going to have 53,000+ people in a half a mile radius.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. On Mother's Day.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. But also, the Rays play at the Mariners that day at 4:10. Maple Leafs don't play till Maple Leafs Lightning. They don't play until 7 o'clock at night, so that's good. You can get your Mother's Day in and then still watch the game.
Pete, I got to stop you.
I got a dilemma.
I got to stop. Well, okay, what's your dilemma? Go ahead. Because I got jumps. Oh.
Because it's Mother's Day.
Yeah. We wondered how much swag and drip our man Wig would be bringing today for Wig Wednesday. You'll be excited. The turnover chain is involved.
Oh, sweet.
I'm looking at him right now. Sweet, He's loaded. He's loaded.
Brought a security guard, too.
Got a security guard.
Good.
He came with security. That's funny.
He's afraid Harry Carey's going to be outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Rose is a bedroom guy.
Yeah.
People
are gunning for him.
Kathleen's vicious.
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 Sweetheart. Yes. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. 4 o'clock hour is all Wigs to co-host. And we will get after it. We got Wikipedia around the corner as well. Another Sheeman Shepherd cash grab. Week with $500. It's brought to you by Andujar and Levine Accident Attorneys. All that coming up.
Single syllable word.
Let me effort that for you.
It makes a difference.
No.
Oh, geez.
Two syllables. Uh-oh. Can you handle that?
I can, but sometimes our listeners can't.
No Green Falcon. Wig does not have a WWE belt. Nope. Just
not a long word, though.
No, it's a two-syllable
word. Two syllables, but they're short. Marlins lead! Let's go!
All right, we got
stuff. Not getting swept.
Well, it's okay. It's the bottom of the eighth. That's good. You're three outs away from victory. Sheeman Shepherd, ESPN, Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman to Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. Coming up, the much-anticipated Wig Wednesday for the full hour because he's the winner of the Sheeman Shepard texture bracket.
We will have pictures posted on social media. So within a couple hours, they'll be there.
Display Seahawks fan is his security for the day. So
yeah, he could be security for the president. Any president. He could play for the Seahawks. Probably need him to play.
Probably. I've never seen him in a suit before. He's got a lot of gear, right? But
he looks very Secret Service.
Very Men in Black, Secret Service ish.
Yeah.
So this is all only Wig would show up with Entourage. I love this. So we're gonna have some fun with that in the 4 o'clock hour. It's gonna take us the whole first segment just to go over Wig's outfit and all the trinkets and stuff he's got on. All the swag.
Bad Attitude Guy is already. Does he have a Burger King crown? Dopey, yeah, make sure you get pictures. Yes, we will have that.
Yes.
Display Seahawks fan was pretty far along in the Sheamus Shepherd Texas bracket as well. How far did we go? Do we remember?
Elite Eight? Sweet 16.
All right. So good sport by him being here, being the protection, the wingman. I like it. So we'll have some fun with that.
Wow.
We are going to also do Wikipedia. Today is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. We toyed around with some ideas. We're going to do Star Wars trivia. We toyed with having you compete against Wig. We weren't sure how much of a Star Wars aficionado Wig was, so I think the plan now is he'll just be a lifeline for whoever the contestant is.
He'll be a lifeline.
So we don't want to cheat Wig out of any airtime in his magical hour. So we got all the paratrooper texting in, jealous of Wig. Let's see here.
Regifted says, guys, please pass along the Wig. He's the man. Remind them of the Wig Warriors.
The Wig Warriors.
Can't wait to hear.
All right.
Espanol wants to know if you have gold teeth.
Come on now. This guy.
I picture Wig showing up looking like Flava Flav.
Wig's much more handsome. Let's see here.
I like Beefarino guy. Should today's contest at 4:45 be Wigglepedia today?
Like he's the contestant?
No, like he's Pete. And then the contestant just goes up against Wig.
We could do that. I don't know how. See, I know Pete knows his Star Wars inside out. I mean, I don't know. Does Wig know all, like, 10 episodes of Star Wars inside and out?
He says he knows something.
We have till 4:45 to decide. It should be good.
Well, we can give Wig a couple. He can be a couple lifelines. It can just.
Yeah.
It could be. It could. One guess per question, though, not like five guesses per question, if required. But
Utah texting in, is Wig wearing a wig? No, Wig's got some solid hair on his own. He's good.
Oh, Kathleen says, oh, my God, had I known the guys were coming in, I would have been there, too. We're going to have a texture party in this little tiny room. Could barely fit the five of us.
We got a shout out. Shots fired. Sopranos says, tell Wig I'm coming for the crown.
Kathleen, we're going to have the next one at your house.
He says that's why he's got security. And yeah. Weed says, hey, Wig, go Mavs.
Oh, that's fighting words.
Oh, gosh.
Wig's friend Junior says, Wig, I'm listening, bro. Go Wig. Yeah, it's going to be good. All right.
Have we met Junior?
Marlins blew it.
No, he just texts in a lot. What? You just had the lead.
I
said you only had three outs to go.
Well, he got one, and then he let somebody on. And
well, you still got the bottom half of the inning.
Great.
Still could be a comeback.
Great.
Look, there's seven people left.
All
five more than an Oakland.
And there she's wearing a Diamondbacks jersey.
That was awful.
She's wearing a pink Diamondbacks jersey.
How many fans in Oakland today? They started against Tampa Bay.
The texter bracket just loading in with the greetings to Wig. All right, we'll get him in here. 4 o'clock hour coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd, cash grab. The word, well, listen for the word coming up here in a couple of minutes. Text it in, and you could win $500 by 4:15. All right, Wig in studio. And that's all coming up next. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.